Yeah. Microphone check. 1, 2, 1, 2. It's Restless Soul right here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and of course, streaming for the world at kpfk.org. Christy Lomax back in the mix with you on a Monday night. My special in-studio guest is Mr. Victor Duplay. Victor, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How's the summer been treating you?
It's been probably the busiest summer ever.
Really? What you been doing?
Just preparing for the release of this album coming out September 19th, Bold and Beautiful. It's an independent project, so I'm way more involved than I've ever been. So it's very demanding, at the least.
More involved. What's that mean exactly?
Well, the kind of method that I chose to release the record required that I was pretty much involved with every facet of the planning. I mean, going all the way back to the recording, every song, producing or co-producing every song, writing every song, then being the artist on every song, and then soliciting partners to help me release the record, then distribute the record, then market the record, then promote the record, then finance the record. All those things are involving me directly. So it takes a lot of energy. I need like 4 heads in one time, you know?
Right.
3 different clones to uh-huh. keep it moving forward. But it's exciting, and I'm learning the industry in a more complete way, so it's satisfying that way.
Certainly, this is not your first party in terms of putting out music. Before this album, you had a major label deal, Hollywood Records. But even before that, I mean, you had a number of singles and things that you were doing. And so those were just all through other labels. Mm-hmm. You didn't have much of a hand in those.
Right. No, I just created and delivered.
Created and delivered.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's talk about this role of sort of being independent, because I was certainly curious when you actually signed with Hollywood Records, because of the fact that, you know, from where I was standing, you seem to have a lot of success with the music and the production, the way that you'd been doing things. So for me, I was thinking maybe the next logical progression would have been a full-length album, but something that you would have done independently back then.
Yeah, well, the Hollywood concept was supposed to be, I guess, a graduation, in a sense, from the independent world into a major situation, not so much to really compete against whatever the pop trend was at the time, but just to have more of an outreach and to have more marketing support and more exposure. Unfortunately, they tried to create an underground campaign, which was kind of confusing because, you know, when you walk in the door and someone knows that you have a multi-million dollar company behind you, they don't really want to hear that you're underground anymore. They want to see things that really relate to a major experience. And sometimes I think when majors try to do this so-called grassroots campaign, it makes the people out in the field, so to speak, think that the record's not being supported, which in reality it isn't. It's not being supported as the A-list celebrity would be supported, where they promote it every single way possible and spend millions of dollars. They try, in a sense, to be trendy and come up with these kind of strange terms like eclectic campaign. And, you know, sometimes it has worked in history.
Right.
But, you know, there's a whole lot of circumstances around those projects that do end up being successful that sometimes are just based on that time, mm-hmm. with space. And they think that they can recreate that, and it's really difficult to do. And to say that it was not the right move? I can't really say because they did continue. I mean, I'm still moving forward. It wasn't a step backwards. Maybe it was like something that didn't exceed my own personal desire, but I'm still rolling, so.
When I'm listening to you tell this story, it's interesting because I guess if I were in your shoes going to a label, you know, like Hollywood and hear about this grassroots campaign, again, you have to wonder, like, you signed me, but do you really get me? Because in a sense, you already had that covered. You know, everybody already knew who Victor Duplay was on that quote-unquote grassroots, you know, level, whether it be from, you know, the pirate radio or the college radio or just, you know, from the club. So the next natural step should have been like, you know, pat out.
Yeah, because I think sometimes what happens is these companies, someone in the company signs you or brings you to the attention of an organization
mm-hmm.
that is not necessarily filled with underground people.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't understand underground culture at all mm-hmm. anyway. Maybe two people. Maybe the A&R person does, or maybe one marketing person does. But typically, they understand MTV and, you know, number one hits. That's what they're after. That's what they really grasp. So they're being educated to what's happening in the underground when they bring you to the table.
Mm.
When that person says that, when your champion says, hey, this is the artist I want, he's dope on the underground,
mm-hmm.
then the other 90% of the company is like, well, what does that mean? Oh yeah, that's great, but what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say in their mind what's underground. They'll call that out. Well, maybe he can be successful in at X station, X eclectic station.
Mm-hmm.
Not recognizing that station has already been championing me for 3-4 years. They won't know that because they're not really in it. And that's the kind of thing you find out when you actually go into a label, how it works. And then you're dealing with staff changes and corporate downsizing, things like that, that were also very instrumental in the momentum problems. Because you get signed on X day, and then by the time you come out, there's very strong possibility that 4 or 5 different marketing heads would have come and gone. That did happen to me as well. Then on top of that, we went to war the day my record was released. So just the overall spending, the extra excess spending that was we were kind of having up until that point, it just disappeared. The world was in a
different place.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too, talking about to hear you talk about marketing and how it all changes, because as this interview was drawing close, I kept being, and the world is sort of being inundated with this sort of, you know, Justin Timberlake and bringing sexy back. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because as it relates to you and your music, I think that's sort of that is the image, you know, that's the visual in people's mind about you and your music. It's sensual, it's sexy, it's passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me think about you and your place in sort of pop culture, but then also in terms of now that you're doing it independently for yourself, how do you see yourself being positioned within all of that stuff?
Well, one of the main things that that me and the rest of my team have been focusing on is basically presenting not just a sound, not just a face, but an entire movement. Because to me, it's been a movement that has kept me going forward. It's been the global understanding that people have of me, and they've educated me in terms of what my vibe is. So now we're on a mission to get everybody in Duplay mode, you know, which is essentially living sensuality, living positive vibrations, and experiencing good music, experiencing beautiful things. I'm attaching myself to that type of lifestyle, that type of culture. I'm basically saying that this is how I live. I travel the world. I go to see the most fantastic places that you could ever imagine. I meet the most beautiful people you could ever imagine. But I also come from the hood, so I can relate to that person as well. That's me. It's all me. And sharing those experiences and sharing that complete understanding of life with other people is my perspective of sexiness. And sensuality is something that I live and breathe, so I don't have to necessarily act it out, or it doesn't have to be like overt. necessarily. My music is very subtle, and to me, it's very minimal, especially the new approach. And it comes from the soul. It's something I really feel. I'm not really trying hard to be X, Y, or Z. I really feel and I live it. And that's the most important thing for me. And I think what happens is when people are hearing the new things, especially, they automatically feel it. So it's not a lot of extra selling. The only thing is dealing with the fear of radio programmers and other people, retailers and so on and so forth, who are accustomed to dealing with these big budgets to promote and market and things like that. Battling that is going to be challenging, but we're having so much success with people who just genuinely believe in what I'm trying to do. I think they'll figure out ways to get me out there on behalf of everybody.
You're close.
Yeah, Victor Duplay with a track called Pure. It's on both the Stimulation EP and his forthcoming release entitled Bold and Beautiful out on BBE Records. How'd you make the move over to BBE? How'd that happen?
Well, I've been working with those guys off and on, doing remixes and other types of projects, producing for some of their artists and I'm just really good friends with Peter and Lee, who basically are the owner and president of BBE. And I wanted to make a move with a company that had some type of respect in the kind of alternative urban community. I didn't want to just jump to an indie that's just starting cold turkey, and I didn't want to go right back to a major either. So I felt like they were somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And we've figured out a way to creatively come up with a record company model that maybe maybe we'll continue, maybe we'll expand.
Actually, let me just say, in addition to Pure, we also played another one of the cuts from the Stimulation EP, Nothing Like Your Touch. Both from Victor Duplay, in case you're just joining us right here on Restless Soul. Christy Lomax, my name, host and DJ. I'm talking with singer, producer, DJ, all-around music man, L.A. resident, Philly native, Victor Duplay, joining me tonight to talk about his forthcoming releases and a couple other things that he's doing and have in the hopper. I wanted to go back to this idea where you spoke about your fans have sort of informed you in terms of your image, sound, what they like. Knowing sort of what the public expects of you and what they look forward to, how does that fit into the overall plan of where you want to go yourself with your music? Do you find it to be challenging right now, or is it cool because you're still in such a, I don't know, for lack of a better word, embryonic state of your full development of where you want to go?
No, I think that the public has helped me find the sweet spot in my artistry because, you know, I didn't really start off to set out to be a front man singer in my music career. I was a music producer for the first half and a DJ before that. So the concept of being an artist wasn't for me like, okay, I need to be in the spotlight. I need to be the man. It was just like a way for me to express myself in a way that I felt as though I wasn't able to through other artists. So when I made the songs that I put out, it was only a reflection of how I felt. And then when other people told me, oh, it made them feel a certain way, then I just started to pay attention. International Affairs was like an experiment for me because I was so eager to try to do all kinds of things. You know, I want to do a house record. I want to do electronic record. I want to do a kind of hip hop record. I was all over the place. And even in the vocal stylings, can I do this? Can I do that? And what I found is that people responded most to the sultry and the smooth sounding tones of my voice and the sincere lyrical content.
Let's talk about the album. How is Bold and Beautiful, as your next full-length album, going to be different from International Affairs?
Bold and Beautiful is really a soundscape of seductive and soothing. And it has a very peaceful tone. Is what it's about. It's about elevation in a lot of ways. I call it Bold and Beautiful because I think in this era where everything is about negativity and destruction, the stars of the day are just wild and out of control, and they're either killers or they try to act like the ex-convicts, or the other extreme is, you know, sex fiends and, you know, things that typically are just ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like to be beautiful in this marketplace, you have to be bold to say, I don't want to be that. I'm not interested in being a killer. I don't want anybody to be in jail, ever. I want to see people move forward and do things that are a little bit more progressive. And this record is designed for you to sit at home and to go into that space. So when you put it on from the first second of that first song, when Stimulation comes on, which is the first song on the album, all the way to the end of Temple of Thoughts, it's a journey into positive expression and beautiful thought.
Yeah, as you said earlier, with the way the current landscape is of you know, R&B being in this very sort of hostile environment of the ideals they're communicating, and especially in terms of their relationship to women. Yeah, I mean, it's sex, but in such a very aggressive way, unless you're someone who's in that older sort of Luther category. It's still very misogynist. It's still, you know, very predatory. Your music definitely stands out because it comes wrapped in a very central package, and there is sincerity to it, and you're saying things, especially if, you know, if your target audience are women, you know, you're saying things, you're speaking to them in a language that they want to hear, you know, that sounds sexy.
Well, you know, for me, the one of the key things I always try to explain to people about modern R&B is you're talking about music that's being written primarily by a bunch of 19-year-olds.
Hello.
And no disrespect to them, but, you know, I'm 36, soon to be 37, and I'm not afraid to say that or admit it, you know, no Hollywood age or anything, because I think it's a major accomplishment to reach that age and still be positive and be valid in the marketplace or in any form of American culture, because there's so much emphasis on the youth movement and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, I know more than a 19-year-old. I've experienced way more than the average person who says that they live on the streets, because I've done the streets. I've done the streets in about 30 countries. So, you know, my perspective is far more vast. So I have a lot more to say. I can talk about a particular topic about 7 or 8 different ways. So, it gives me the type of background to be able to make a record that really gets to the point on the topic, you know? And that's where I think people are now, because they've heard the basic thing. They've heard Baby, I Love You. They've heard Baby, I Wanna Hit It. They've heard, you know, all different kinds of things. And I'm just taking it just a little bit further.
Maybe we can make a
to play in a family way here. Baby making music. On the real.
The long fade.
I like it. I'm really feeling the vibe. It's from the album Bold and Beautiful, forthcoming on BBE Records. And you all know from this show the wonderful music that BBE puts out. And you know that this album sits in great company. What is the official release date for
September
this album?
September 19th, 2006.
Okay. I am holding a CD, so y'all know that you will be able to get this on CD as well, I'm sure, as some select vinyl, 12 inches. So know that everything I drop will be available.
And iTunes slightly before, I believe a week before. So.
And probably for your own website, will you have this available for digital downloads? And
I'll have links.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So I understand also in the hopper, in terms of continuing the sort of Duplay mode, videos are going to be in the works.
Yes.
You're going to hit us with visuals.
Yes.
And then to kind of continue that, you've got a monthly party going on as well with Garth and DJ Rashida.
Yeah, it's called Kiss and Grind. We have it at different select locations. Some of them are somewhat legal. So the promotion is a little mysterious, but overall, we are creating a vibe of soulful music. I don't want to just say soul music because I don't want you to think it's only a retro party, because it's not. It's really based on the modern energy of soul music and the spirit of melody, you know, vocal and melody. That's what we base it around. So that covers a lot of ground. We're still sorting out the format. And it's exciting because the first one we did, you know, people were so happy. And I called it Kiss and Grind because where I come from in Philly, I'm used to going to parties where people interact. And there's been like a global movement of everyone going to an event and standing in a corner and looking at each other and head nodding and not really interacting unless they're drunk, you know. And out here, there's the bottle service concept where the cats with the cash buy a bottle and grab the girls by the shirt and pass them a drink. That's cool if that's your thing, but I'm more like into, hey, let's just talk, let's kick it, let's dance together. You know, maybe I can get a kiss, maybe I can get a grind, you know. That's my style of socializing. So,
Victor Duplay is not just a singer, it's an experience.
It's definitely like, the experience.
I definitely feel you on the party thing. I mean, as a club DJ myself, I don't understand this idea of kind of paying $10 to hold up a wall. You know, I understand that people can be embarrassed being the first one on the dance floor. No one wants to dance unless the floor is packed or whatever. But this kind of party as voyeurism or visual aid, it doesn't work. You know, what's missing from a lot of parties is this idea of space between the bodies. You know, even now if you catch an old Soul Train video clip or something, it's like people, there's no space there. People are up on each other.
Yeah.
You know, sex as a concept on the dance floor is completely gone.
I came from spinning, when I started to do block parties and stuff in Philly when I was a young buck, we played slow jams in the middle of the street and people would dance.
Right.
You know, coupled up or what have you. So, you know, nowadays you don't even get people looking eye to eye, and that's kind of bizarre, you know. It's like a group of girls over here, a bunch of cats on the wall. And sometimes it depends on the music. I must admit the music does kind of create a certain mood. If you go into a spot and everybody's playing kind of backpacker type hip hop, then all of a sudden it becomes a boys' party. And that gets to be a little weird. And if you play mainstream hip hop, then it becomes like kind of a cheering section. Like, oh, this is my favorite jam. You know? And with iTunes and things like that, DJs are just playing every single record they've ever heard in their lives. And it doesn't really have a consistent mood or vibe. It's just really popularity is what they're selling. So I'm still into controlling the space with the sound. You know, I feel as though that's effective. I've DJed enough parties to see different styles and different things that work. I think the celebrity DJs can get away with playing every single record they've ever mm-hmm. hurt in their life, because mm-hmm. I think at that point in time, they're trying to appeal to different types of people at one time.
Sure.
That's a rough position for them to be in.
Well, it's also the trend of just seeing what Johnny from, you know, that 70s show can play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is my vibe is more like, listen, come on in. You know, you heard that I'm all about this sensual thing. If you know Garth Trinidad, you know what he represents.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashida is very closely affiliated with Prince. And she does another party called Honey
mm-hmm.
in L.A. So, you know, we're on the same page. We're trying to create moods at these events, not just your top 10 favorite records. And then also educate you to some new things. I've been a beneficiary of parties like this all around the world with people like Giles Peterson and DJ Spin. I heard you play one of his tunes. Rich Medina, guys like that who have been known for trying to break music in the club. And that's where we're headed with this thing. And also just to get people close again.
Well, let's talk more about the album. We've heard a couple of the sensual tunes. Let's talk about some of these up-tempo numbers. What stands out on the EP for me is certainly See the Sun. Let's talk a little bit about that tune, how that came to be. And certainly, lyrically, it steps away a bit from what people might be used to hearing because it's more of a spiritual tone to it. But this, I guess, is more overt in its message.
Yeah, well, that song has an interesting history because it was the first song that my partner James Poyser and I did with the group we have signed to our Sony distribution deal, Ty Tribbett and GA, a very popular gospel artist at the moment in the vein of some of the other big gospel artists that have come in the past 5 to 10 years or so. And that song was somehow leaked out of our office and bootlegged, especially in Europe and in parts of Asia, and to a few DJs who spin that type of West London broken beat / soul stuff here in the States. So it was in the marketplace already. And part of the reason why it didn't come out earlier is because with the digital production and stuff, our hard drive got zapped and we lost most of the original information that we recorded on that record. And we had to send the hard drive to a recovery place, and it took too long, so it didn't make Ty's album. Then when we finally did get it, there were things missing, you know, drum tracks missing, stuff like that. We still had the vocals, and so
had you longing for that 2-inch tape, didn't it?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. But hey, but you have errors with that too. I mean, don't get it twisted.
Yeah, that's true.
There was a lot of mistakes with that. You know, somebody hit the erase button and then it's done.
Mm.
There is no recovery,
mm.
no mm-hmm. recovery center for erase. So, you know, when it came back, you know, it was a tune that I always felt was just beautiful in how it combined the soul and the groove. And but I thought it needed a vocal to kind of tie it together, because originally it was just the choir and the track. And I added some more things, made it a little bit more psychedelic, and put my voice on it. And there you have it.
Dark.
Also commend you on this track because you're one of the people who can consistently sort of get that whole West London vibe correct, in my opinion, in terms of like Americans trying to get that sound. You know, I don't know, these things may seem very, very simple to program in the computer, but I find 9 times out of 10, they're just some American producers who just don't get the vibe right. And so you consistently, I found, have been able to, you know, nail that.
The fascinating thing about that is when they told me, because I didn't really know about that vibe, to be honest with you. I was making that kind of music as an extension of my understanding of house music was, which wasn't really what house music is right now, not like 126, 130 BPMs, but more like 112, 110, 112, the old Philly soul records that they called house music in mm-hmm. Chicago. That's really what I was basing it on. I just got tired of four, punch, punch, punch. I got tired of that, so I just started to flip the beats up a little bit, but I always understood the importance of being able to dance to it. That's what I think. Any record, any up-tempo record, you should be able to do. You should be able to dance to it easily, not have to sit there and study it like it's arithmetic, you know, figure out where you put your foot out. And the West London guys came to me. Mm-hmm. They said, yo, you make tracks like us. And I said, oh, that's nice, you know. And then, because I wasn't there, you know, I wasn't really traveling that much at the time. So I didn't know what was going on in London.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't for guys like King Britt to kind of expose me to this kind of global DJ culture, I'd be like everybody else, you know, basically trying to be the next Pharrell. You know, how am I going to get my hip hop track placed? You know, that's really where I was at the time. How are we going to get to be the next Timbaland or, you know, Teddy Riley, whoever was hot? That's all we were thinking about in Philly. We didn't care about the underground in Paris, you know, or Berlin. So when I met Jazzanova and those guys, I was totally stunned that they listened to the music. And fortunately for me, I made records that helped launch that scene. Messages that I did with Masters at Work was a record that they copied. So it kind of, it's not as much me copying them as much as us somehow coming up with a similar vibe and influencing each other at the same time.
The main ingredient being you just sticking to your creative muse, so
my instincts,
yeah. And then whatever follows. In terms of the full-length Bold and the Beautiful, you say that there are a couple other sort of up-tempo dance tracks, nothing housey. You made a conscious effort to kind of stay away from that. Why is that?
Because the mood of the record is mid-tempo, late-night booty business. You know, it's not really about the dance floor. It's just about grooving. And everything fits within that mood. You know, I give you just enough tempo so you don't fall asleep. but
to get to the bedroom.
Exactly. Exactly. It can't be too up-tempo so that when you put it on and you light that candle and you pour that wine, that your lady's like, can you switch it? I don't want you to do that.
Right.
I want you to leave it on for all 12 tunes because it's going to take you to the place that you want to end up. Right. Guaranteed.
You have a show coming up as well at the Roxy later in the month.
Before the show, I have the release party, which will be at the Purple Room with Garth Trinidad at the Standard on the 21st of September. That's just going to be a celebration. Come down and get drunk with me. And I'll tell you a drink or two that you need to try. Then the show will be at the Roxy on the 27th.
Okay.
With the Rebirth opening. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be good.
And you shall have a full band or?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Give us some visual. What will that look like, you on stage? For those are used to just seeing you behind two turntables and maybe singing, what will your full band stage vibe, how will that manifest itself visually?
Well, it's going to be different than what you're used to seeing because I'm going to incorporate the turntables as, I guess, as a keyboard player would incorporate the keys in the show. So
okay,
there's going to be a combination of turntable, computer, drummer, tabla player, keyboard player, percussionist, kind of rhythmic and beautiful is what it's going to be.
Well, Victor, thanks so much for coming on by and hanging out again here at Restless Soul. We haven't seen you personally one-on-one here in about three years or so, and you know, we're still digging the music, still enjoying it, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule to come down and share some music from your forthcoming release, Bold and Beautiful, on BBE Records, coming to you on September
19th.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, and thank you for spreading the love.
This is Restless Soul on Radio, powered by the people, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and streaming globally at kpfk.org. I will see you again next week.